Hello, it's Joanne Staffnell here from Triton Legal. I've given this podcast the slightly enigmatic title Invisible Ink, in the hope that you would keep listening even after I say that it's about the role of attendance notes and records management in mitigating the effect of claims. Okay, so you're clearly the sort of conscientious lawyer who's willing to use your spare time to pick up some risk management tips. So I hope we can be honest with each other, one lawyer to another. Does anyone really enjoy doing attendance notes? Can any of us put our hands on our hearts and say that we do an attendance note for every single telephone call and every single client meeting? Come on, let's admit it. Attendance notes are a pain in the bum, aren't they? So, as a lawyer, I totally sympathise with the feeling that making attendance notes feels like boring admin when there are lots of more interesting and important things to be doing. But as a professional negligence defence lawyer, day in, day out, I see how a lack of attendance notes either causes claims against lawyers or at least makes them more difficult to defend. Time and time again, my discussions with a lawyer client will go like this. Well, Mr. Jones, your former client is alleging that you never advised him that there was a risk he might lose his court case and that if you had, he would have settled at an early stage and saved himself tens of thousands of pounds, money that he's now claiming from you. Ah, yes, I remember this client and this case clearly. I definitely told him that there was a serious risk he would lose his case and I advised him that the best thing would be to settle. But he wouldn't have it. He said he wanted his day in court and hang the consequences. Well, that's good to hear, Mr. Jones. It looks like we might have a complete defence to this allegation. Could I please have a copy of your attendance note recording that meeting? Well, I might have scribbled down a few things during the meeting, but I don't file those sorts of papers, so I can't check. Anyway, I didn't bother dictating an attendance note afterwards. Well, OK, Mr. Jones, it doesn't strictly have to be a typed attendance note. Perhaps you sent a follow-up email to the client confirming his instructions instead. No. Well, OK, maybe you sent an internal email to one of your juniors explaining the position. No. Mr. Jones, is there any record whatsoever of what was said at that meeting? Actually, no, none at all. In fact, now I come to think of it, I can't really be sure whether I gave the advice to this client or one of my other clients. Well, in that case, Mr. Jones, I have to advise you that there is a serious risk that you will lose this case, and I advise you that the best thing would be to settle at an early stage. Bear with me while I make a note of that. The problem, of course, is that if a dispute comes down to your word against the client's, the court will often give the client the benefit of the doubt. As far as the court is concerned, the events are much more likely to be a memorable one-off for the client, but an everyday task for the lawyer with lots of other similar cases to manage. The other risk management benefit is that good attendance notes help you make sure your work products are correct. If you have a good note of the client's instructions, it is much easier to use it like a checklist to make sure you haven't left anything out. Now, you might be thinking, well, this is all very well and good, but I'm usually under a lot of time pressure and I don't have time to dictate attendance notes of every single conversation that takes place. Now, take it from me, I do know how difficult it is. So I hope that these risk management tips help you get the balance right and manage the other demands on your time while still keeping good records. Typed attendance notes of telephone discussions and conferences are arguably the gold standard, but you can record meetings in other ways. Email confirmations are an obvious example. Handwritten notes of calls and annotating drafts of agreements are others, and are certainly better than having no records at all. Also, you don't necessarily need to record verbatim every word that is spoken at the meeting. The types of things that are key to record in some form are the following. First of all, you've got to record the advice you gave the client. But you also need to record the information given to you by the client on which you based that advice. Similarly, if you got advice from some third party, such as an expert witness, and that feeds into the advice that you gave your client, you need to record that as well. If your client changes the instructions, then you need to record that too, but also the reasons for those changes are important. For example, if you're helping a client with a negotiation and the client tells you this is the absolute maximum I'm willing to pay in this case, but then later changes his mind just to get the deal done, You need to record that to avoid facing an allegation later on that you made a mistake. Finally, if your usual practice is to keep a hard copy file that's not backed up in an electronic format, please do take care to get all the papers together and label them properly before you send them off to storage at the end of a case. There is nothing more frustrating than knowing that there was evidence to defend a claim, but that the file got lost on the way to storage and can no longer be found. I hope that these tips help, and that they help you keep good records of the key aspects of your interaction with your clients. Otherwise, you may as well write all your attendance notes in invisible ink. The matters discussed in this podcast should not be applied to any particular set of facts without seeking legal advice. This podcast was recorded at Alaska Studios, London.